Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. On Monday, Lydia Randa will be here with Rainmakers. On Tuesday, General Ted Maxwell will be here with a little bit of engagement hour. Grant Kruger will be here on Wednesday with Food for Thought. Tom Moulton on Thursday, sponsored by Visit Tucson, talking about the great attractions in Tucson. And today we'll do the first hour business success stories, and then the 8 o'clock hour is our University of Arizona Wonder Session. Good morning, Morgan Murphy. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you, Dr. Ackerley?
Did you get any sleep, or did you hang out at Growlers till the wee hours of the morning?
I didn't get any sleep. I was hanging out at Growlers, and I was creating this radio show run. So.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we're going to talk this morning about an organization that's... it's successful, and it's successful because of a family that runs it. Dustin McMillan is the owner of Growler's Tap House. Good morning, Dustin.
Good morning.
So tell us a little bit about Growler's Tap House, which Morgan knows a lot about because she used to hang out there quite a bit.
Yes.
So what is Growler's, and what is a Growler's Tap House?
So Growler's, realistically, when I've looked back on it, I don't even remember what our idea was. Like I said, I kind of want to open a nightclub. I lived in Vegas. I had that lifestyle going.
Right.
The older I got, I realized, you know, probably not the avenue I wanted to go down.
Right.
So I kind of mentioned the idea, the craft scene, the craft beer was really exploding. I mean, this mm-hmm. is 10 years ago, 12 years ago. It was really taking off. So kind of wanted to go down that avenue. And I kind of ran the idea by my mother and my stepfather. And he had always wanted to open a restaurant. And at least I could still get the beer. Might not be a nightclub, but hey, craft beer is good.
Yeah, yeah.
So we came together. I wrote up a business plan, and it kind of just developed from there. It took years, and then we finally got. I mean, it was really hard to even open because nobody would take us as a first-time business, right? Especially for a restaurant. It's really real tricky business, especially if you've never done it.
Especially if you don't know how the tap guns work for the sodas
I didn't even know. I didn't know how the dishwasher worked. It was a whole new world for me and my family. But we dove in and for whatever reason, knock on wood, we've been blessed. And here
about
we are.
About 10 years now?
So 8 years open and 9 years since the build out.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So did you build it out yourself? Were you part of that process?
Oh, yeah. So my history of work, I've been a firefighter, worked in the Carpenters Union, name it, I've done it. And so I went to school actually for TEP to be a lineman.
Right.
So I was doing the blueprint readings and all that.
So you kind of knew what you were doing on the build out.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of played in and it worked out good. So I was there every step of the way, you know, fighting with the general contractors and all the fun stuff to go with it. Sleeping on the floor with my bag of rags in the chair. And that's a true story. So
Yeah. So tell us about the beer at the tap house, the Growler's Tap House. So
when we first opened, like I said, we went with the craft. I have 30 handles, mm-hmm. and it's all craft beer. So and different breweries from all over the states. Mm-hmm. Definitely a lot of local.
Santan
and Huss and Barrio and
the big ones from Phoenix. Flagstaff.
They've got a few brews.
Right.
Founders, that's back east. I mean, name it, they're all over.
Right.
We started with the 30, and the craft scene really was crazy. I mean,
that's where it was starting right then, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got pictures.
Good timing, by the way.
Oh, it was beautiful. And we were kind of going for the more elegant look. I mean, we had the candles in the glass, on the tables, and we've really kind of now we've switched gears. We got to adapt, right?
Right.
People want sports and people want cheap beer now,
right?
So the craft scene is actually starting to dive down
a little bit.
So I've taken 10 of my handles that I have, and I've done domestic and imports, and I sell them. It's a weird price, but I have my reasons for it. It's for $2.51 for a pint. Mm-hmm. All day, every day, and it'll stay like that forever.
What is the weird reason that you have?
I'm a numerology guy, so two plus
five equals one, or what?
Yeah, 2 + 5 + 1, so it's 8. Eight's the number of money. So if people, when people come in, they're like, "This makes what is the penny?" So
as prices go up, does the glass get smaller? The growler gets smaller.
Yeah, exactly.
You pour less into the glass when the prices go up. If you're going to keep it that for $2.51, forever, you get less each time.
Exactly.
Price stays the same. The amount is a little bit.
Yep.
different. Yeah, that's great. So a growler really is, for those that drink beer, know that a growler is the actual mug that you drink it from, right?
No, so it's actually the jug.
Jug.
I mean, so it's a 64-ounce jug, or you can be 32.
Well, you can drink it out of a 64-ounce. That's what I drink it out of.
There you go. Yeah. Hey,
But it's the jug, the actual jug. Right?
It's the jug, yeah. And then that's for usually off-premise. So, you know, fill them up, and then they can take them home. It's 4 pints, so.
Do you have that capability? Can people take your beer? So that's your liquor license is a good license.
We got the
Primo one.
Yes. We got the six. We got blessed how that landed on our lap. But I don't know. It's a blessing now. It wasn't earlier on, you know, especially during the COVID times.
So you have 20 handles that are craft beers, and then 10 that are domestics and imports.
Yep.
And how's the sales on those? Is it pretty
blown it out? I mean, and the amount of people coming in too that are just hearing about it. You know, we have the golf course over there, and so everybody's just coming in and realizing we have cheap beers because now you know the cost of everything is crazy,
right?
And so I can't budge. You know, one way or the other with food, there's just no way. We just lose too much.
An egg still costs,
I mean,
$3.12 an egg.
It's impossible, and that's what sucks. And so if I can give them at least something to where they can they can drink a few of these, you know, nice brews still, and then they come and eat, hey, that's a win for everybody.
Right. And the way that the liquor laws work is that you're the one that's offering this, the wholesaler and the beer companies, they have to sell it to you at the going rate.
Yep.
So this is all on you.
Yep.
This is a marketing thing for you, and you've made this decision, and you're not getting any incentive from the beer companies at all.
Nothing.
You pay the same thing that the guy down the street pays.
Exactly.
But you figured out a way to use it to your advantage.
I think so. I'm happy with the results so far.
Tell us a little bit about the beer focused menu, food wise, and what you got. What's your some of your featured items?
Yeah. So
and that's probably changed over the eight years. Huh?
It has, and now we're actually going to change again. Not a lot. I'll probably change about 5 or 6 things on the food menu, but we do a lot of smoked food. Okay, so I smoke turkey. We smoke ribs. We smoke pulled pork. I have a big smoker, wood chip smoker in the back.
Is it outside or inside?
It's inside. So it's under
vented,
the hoods.
It's vented big time.
It has to be. That thing rolls.
So that's what we see and smell when you drive by sometimes. It's going up big time. That's the signal to come on in,
just
right?
Just come eat.
Smoke signal. Come in. It's time to eat.
Come for cheap beer now and eat all the food, please.
Yeah.
But no, we're coming up with some really cool stuff. I've actually got an event I'm doing this Saturday at the Sands Club.
Tomorrow.
For the ALS.
Right.
And it's bite night. And we've got a couple things that we're featuring that's not on the menu right now. So it'll be really fun.
Try them out to see if they'll work. So who's your chef? Are you the chef or who's the one that's making these chefy decisions?
Well, so that's me and my mom. And the food menu, what people don't know, I have no background.
Other than you eat, right?
And I eat. And every Sunday for football, you know, over the years, we'd have cook-offs. Hey, who can cook this the best? Who can cook this the best? And so when we opened, well, I think we started with 5 things on the menu, and people were not, they weren't happy. We'll just say that in the nice way. So we expanded that, but we just threw on
another bag of chips.
There was nothing. It wasn't anything crazy. And so
that's because you were focused on the beer,
beer. I didn't want to open a restaurant. I was cool with, you know, hey, you guys, you have that part. It'll be good. But now it's most of our home cooked recipes on there.
People are coming in for the $2.51 beer, but they're staying for the food.
And that's our tagline that we go with.
I like that. Hey, I'm pretty good. I should be in marketing. What do you think as a marketing major? That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's spot on.
Yeah. So you've, Morgan, you've been at Growlers many times before. What's your favorite part about
it? I used to work there. My favorite part's the food. I love the food. Don always was experimenting in the kitchen when I was there. And what are they called? The ones, the jalapeno poppers.
Oh, the Untouchables.
Oh my gosh, those are amazing. And they make the salsa that goes with it so good. And now they have brand new TVs.
Yes.
I just walked in there and it is like you're sitting at, you know, the McHale Center with those TVs. It's insane.
Yeah.
They're huge.
So the sports is obviously panned out for you as being a really important part of what you do then.
It never did. And so we said, this is part of the shift, right? We need to change.
You weren't a sports bar to begin with.
I mean, we had TVs, but we never had a crowd.
Right.
Now I put two 100-inch TVs
Holy
up.
Smokes.
I hung them. We hung them from the ceiling,
right.
So they're on pole brackets. Then we did a center mount with three TVs. So we've got, and then big. We changed all the TVs. They're all 75, 85-inch all around. Got a new sound system coming in just for sports. So I mean, we've got 15 TVs. We've got the patio covered. Got the Mister systems. I'm actually after this going to hop on the roof and make sure she's running good and turn it on. It's getting warm.
Yeah, it's going to be. What's going to break the ice on the Santa Cruz this
right
today? It'll be 100 degrees today, so that's great. And you're located out on Silver Bell, right?
Yep, Silver Bell.
What's the cross street there? That's kind of
so. It's Wade. So we're really close to Wade. And like you know, Little Abner's.
Right.
So we're just south of Little Abner's,
right.
Maybe like 3/4 of a mile.
Yeah, and that's pretty easy landmark, Little Abner's.
Yep.
You've been to Little Abner's too before, haven't you?
About 7 years, yeah.
That's great. Well, when we come back, we're talking with Dustin McMillan. He is the owner of Growler's Tap House, a place that Morgan Murphy knows well. And when we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about what you have planned for the future for Dustin McMillan and the Growler's Tap House and your family and what you plan on doing and the craft beer trends that are coming up in the marketplace. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. Morgan Murphy's with me this morning. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning.
You brought us Growler's this morning because you have been to Growler's before. You used to work there for a little while.
Yes, it's an awesome place.
Know it well. Know the family well. One of the owners is here with us. I just want to say thanks to Brendan Kraft. You're doing a great job in there filling in for Matt.
Thank you.
Matt's on vacation this week, and Brendan's doing a great job of manning the ship for us and keeping us on track, so we appreciate that. Dustin McMillan is the owner of Growler's Tap House. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you got your family working with you. You got your mom and parents are helping out.
Got
and
the
your,
whole crowd. Got,
yeah.
I mean, mom, I mean, we work hand in hand together, right? She's good at what she does, and I'm good at what I do. And got my brothers in there, had my sister in there at one point. I mean,
that's great. It's a family affair then, right?
My daughter dishwashed for me. She's young, but you know, wanted to kind of get the idea that.
Yeah, wasn't there a law that if you're the kid of the owner, you start when you're 10?
Yep.
And you get your hands dirty and do what everybody. I know that feeling well. I started with my dad when I was 10, so I know that feeling. So craft beer is really important. We'll talk a little bit about domestics and imports, but craft beer trends. What are the trends of craft beer now in today's world? So
you know what? I think back a while, IPAs were definitely huge. They're still here. They're still around. People still go for them. But I think ciders and more of the gluten-free options are kind of the way people are going. People also want something light. Some of those IPAs and
pretty tough, aren't they?
I mean, they can knock you out. I mean, they can get pretty strong.
Right. Some of those IPAs that I've tasted, I'm kind of a very light beer drink, very, very light.
Some pills and lagers.
Yeah. So when it gets pretty dark and pretty heavy, it's hard for me to drink, and I can see how you have to really acquire a taste for that.
Yeah. Definitely.
So if you were, so we talked about some of your items, your food items. So pick two or three items that you think are something that you would feature if someone said, I'm going out to Growler's, what should I have to eat? What would you recommend to somebody?
Honestly, so there's two that stand out. So the ribs.
Ribs.
Because we smoke them, right? We smoke them all day and then slow cook them. So they just fall right off the bone. And honestly, you can pair that with whatever you want. You want to go with a beer. I'm a porter stout guy. So if I'm eating some barbecue, I don't know why, but I just go that route. And then the Shylock. So it's the smoked turkey and it's got Swiss and then it's got our homemade chipotle sauce. And that right there is probably our number one seller minus the burgers.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. Your, the names that you've come up with, some of these, they're just hilarious. Prohibition pretzels, the Bum's Rush, Dem Bones.
That's so there's Mom's Avenue. That's her favorite thing to do.
Yeah,
it used to drive me nuts, but hey, people like it.
The Stash, the Shylock, the Irish Mafia, the Big Cheese, the Real McCoy, the Green Hat. I mean, these are hilarious names for your food. So if you were going to pick a pairing of your favorite craft beer or beer and say your ribs or something, what would you put together and say, get these two things?
If I was going to, just because now I'm a snob, I used to be craft heavy, okay? I'm a Blue Moon snob, right. Okay? So Blue Moon.
A lot of oranges in your place now,
oh,
huh?
There is. So I'm going with Blue Moon or Blue Van, okay? Blue Van.
I was
going
to say Blue Van. Blue, I was like, that one's so good. I like that one better than Blue Moon.
It's a vanilla.
Who makes that one, Blue Van?
So that's called Street Brewery. And okay. They're out of Lake Havasu.
Lake Havasu,
yep.
Right.
And it is that's been on since we've opened. It's our number one selling beer.
Interesting.
So that's the number one craft
right.
selling that we have. So I'm going with one of those two, either a Blue Moon or the Blue Van, and then I'm definitely getting that Shylock sandwich.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So do you sell Barrio there?
Oh, yeah, a lot. Yeah, Barrio Blonde, the Mocha Java Stout I just put on Nitro.
I just had Jamie Dickman, who is the COO, good friend of ours, been on the show a couple times. She spoke to my class yesterday at the University of Arizona talking about the craft beer industry and how it's growing, but like you say, it has its trends, and it's been interesting to see how they are growing their business as they're heading up to Phoenix. And
smart,
because they've had not that they're the other thing that they said, and this is interesting about craft beers, is that they were able to get into Costco with a 24 pack, and so you know that really has boosted their sales. But craft beer kind of, I'm not going to say people who are in the craft beer business would say the peak is yet to come, and lots of people are discovering craft beer. But for a restaurant like yours, you had 30 handles, and you've switched out 10 of them to domestics and imports. Why is that? Why is craft beer, do you think, getting this little bit of a trending?
I think, well, number one, there is a lot of, I mean, the amount of breweries in Arizona.
It's amazing.
There's hundreds of them. Okay.
Right.
So you not only have that, but then you also have pricing. Okay.
Right.
So some of these smaller, you know, breweries, they can't push out the pricing.
Right. You're not going to sell one of those brews for $2.51.
No.
It's got to be $6-$8 for a beer. Yeah.
And that's the thing. So how many people want to go out? Food's already expensive. Okay.
Right.
So now when you go out and now your beer's expensive and you're spending $50 on two beers and a plate. I mean, that's...
Right.
It's too much.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about ciders. And you got a few ciders that you offer. So.
Yeah. So obviously I rotate. Those 20 handles, I still rotate. So
Correct.
it's never the same thing, but at some point it'll come back. So ciders, you have Schilling, you have Ace, you have, there's one called Connecticut Valley. They do like a strawberry, a spiked strawberry lemonade.
Very cool.
Or blueberry. And those really sell.
Gives you some real variety to offer people. Yeah,
exactly.
It's not just really, really strong craft beer.
No, it's the flavor. I think with the ciders and the meads, people really want that flavor.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about Missing Man coming up on Memorial Day.
Yeah, so my mother actually started this by... It was when the extraction happened,
right.
and on all the
right.
you know the bad stuff happened. We actually had a soldier come in, and he was really down, and he asked if he could buy a round for each one of the soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he did is we actually cut off those tables, and then it just built into this thing where people were just buying rounds for those seats. Okay, and we put all the glasses on there. We actually poured the stuff, and and then the Gold Star Moms.
Oh, wow.
My mother got in touch with them, or they actually contacted us, and then now, you know, they come in and ask to put their picture on the wall, and now we've got, you know, it's something to remember. I mean,
Gold Star families.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
it's very special. And then so now it's these families can come in and say hi and have a drink and you know, a meal and you know, toast to
our freedom.
To our freedom.
All the great people that have served our country. That's great. And of course, Memorial Day is coming up, so that'll be...
Very thankful for where we're at because of the sacrifices.
You're also able now to start selling buckets of eight, and that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
A little more variety for people.
A little more juice for the ones that want to sit longer. And
right. That's a new state law then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they just... It's this new, I actually had a rep come in and give me their new design bucket and fits eight beers. It's huge. It's going to take up half the table, but looks cool.
Two people have to be present for that. You can't buy it yourself and drink all eight.
You
have two people.
Got to have a couple people.
That's great. So you're closed on Monday and Tuesday, but you're open Wednesday through Sunday?
Yes, sir.
And early in the morning to late at night, what are your hours?
So Wednesday, Thursday, we open at 3 p.m., open until 10.
Right.
And then Friday through Sunday, we open at 11, and then we close at 10 o'clock.
Watch those sports on the weekend, right?
The sports, man. We're trying to get that push.
Yeah, and your website is obviously Growlers Tap House.
AZ.com. Yep.
Growlers Tap House. AZ.com. So very great. Thanks for coming in this morning and talking about Growlers. Thanks, Morgan, for getting Dustin and his family in here and connected with the Morning Voice. We'd like to announce that they're going to be a new advertiser on the show and spend thousands of dollars in advertising over the next couple of months. But congratulations to you on the success of your company, and it's a pleasure to meet you this morning.
You too. Thank you. Thank you for having me
on. And we'll be out to Growlers to have some fun with you before too long here. You're listening to The Morning Voice. We'll be back with Extravaganza coming up after the break. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley, your host. Hope to see some of you down at Sonoyta Vineyards tomorrow. Lori will be coming up in a half hour here to talk about her legacy of her grandfather at the University of Arizona and the blessing of the vineyards. It's appropriate that we talk about the blessings because we have a blessing with us here this morning. Pastor Jonathan Armstrong, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're with Tucson Baptist Church and your wonderful father and mom, but your wonderful father, Brent Armstrong, is the pastor there, the head pastor, and a wonderful guy. Been on our show before, and you've been there 10 years, so you're doing well following in your dad's footsteps, huh?
Yeah, one of my greatest joys of life is working with my parents and serving our local community at Tucson Baptist.
That's great. And Abel, depending on if you're me and you're a white guy and you say Abel, or if you're Hispanic, you say Abel, is your Hispanic pastor. He's a good friend of ours as well and has done a great job there with the Hispanic ministry. I was at a service not too long ago. Place is packed. It's amazing how many people you can pack into that church. And he has that's the old church, right, of the old, before the big one was built. And so the Hispanic ministry uses the first church, and it's packed.
Right. We've had to take out some walls to make more seats. And, they're continuing to grow,
That's
sure.
That's great. So on a Sunday, on a given Sunday, you've got a huge... a huge couple of services going on simultaneously, and it's the fact. One of the coolest things that this is really terrible that I would even mention this, but one of the coolest things you have is the coffee shop in the patio.
Right.
So the fellowship that happens in your patio before and after services is just absolutely amazing. So they have this. It's a little coffee shop.
Yeah, we call it the Courtyard Cafe, and we just serve local coffee there. Right. And but the purpose of it is just to provide a place for our community in our community.
And it's amazing because both the Hispanic side come out and the English-speaking side come out, and they all kind of hang out there together have cafe. It's wonderful. So you've been there for 10 years.
Yes, sir.
And what's your focus? Are you youth, family?
So my current title is executive pastor, and I kind of help oversee the day-to-day operations of our ministry.
Which is huge. Big campus.
On a typical Sunday, we have about 1,000 people at church, and then we have a school and a preschool as well.
Right.
And so there's just a lot that goes on during the week that I get to help oversee and plan, just make sure it runs smoothly.
And with the little school, big school, with the little guys, you do lots of things with families and very family-focused as a population there.
Yes, sir.
So one that's coming up is one that I just love. It's called Easter Extravaganza. So tell us a little bit about the genesis of this and how Extravaganza works and where it is and what's going to be happening a week from Saturday.
For sure. A couple years ago, we started looking for ideas of kind of getting back into our community. It's easy for us as a church just to kind of have people come to our property, but we wanted to really get out and go to the community. And so we selected a local park. It's Reed Park right there on 22nd Country Club. And we'll just do a big...
Because you guys are located at Columbus and 22nd Street between 29th and 22nd. So it's right around the corner from you, basically.
Yeah, I think it's like a mile or so down the road for us.
Right.
But like I said, we just want to get back in our community and just have a fun, safe environment for families to come out and to make some memories.
And so what happens at Extravaganza? What is happening and what do you What do you do there?
Yeah, so this year we'll have 20,000 eggs that are stuffed with candy. And this past Sunday, our church got together and we stuffed them all. And like, man,
it takes
eggs,
a lot to
they
stuff.
They keep growing every year. Yeah. And we keep getting more and more. But so they'll come out and it'll be from 9 to 10. And we'll have a lot of games, like carnival games. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, right at 10 o'clock is when the extravaganza will be that we say no egg is safe because all eggs will be consumed and devoured on that day. Yeah.
And as I recall, you have some booths and stuff set up around, so for family activities and things and information, that kind
of
stuff.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we got face painting. This year, actually, we're partnering with several community organizations. Mm-hmm. And so they'll come out and have some booths set up and just to be able to provide their services to our local community.
It's amazing when a person goes to Reed Park on that Saturday. First off, there's a million little kids running around, right. and you kind of have it separated into the older kids and the little kids and the little kids, so that it's easy for the little kids to find their eggs as opposed to the race that happens when the big kids go for them.
So. Yeah, I've got three daughters that are under six, and so right. They're going to be separate from the 12-year-olds finding their eggs.
Right, right.
And then actually 2 years ago, we started a little section as well for those who have children with handicaps.
Right.
And so that way there's just a safe place for them to come and make memories with their families as well.
Yeah, I remember that. That's great. And so it's kind of a neat, first off, it's a build up. We're going to go in a minute. And it's kind of this big, big anticipation. And then your dad sends them off. And it really is amazing to watch those little guys running around, picking up their eggs and all that. And it only lasts, you know.
It lasts like 5 minutes, yeah. I think, right?
Yeah. So those 20,000 eggs disappear in a short period of time, but it's actually very cool. And then the people stay around and hang out and talk and have family time and so forth. It really is a really special time. And so, and your little guys will probably love it this year as well. So that's April 19th. That's a week from tomorrow, and that'll be 9:00 a.m. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah. We'll open registration at 9:00.
Right.
And the actual 10-ish. Event will be right at 10 o'clock.
Right, and that's at Reed Park near the amphitheater. There.
It's actually on the amphitheater lawn. It kind of goes up, and so that's where we've reserved that area for it.
Right, so if you know where to park to get close to the amphitheater there, there's about three parking lots that are just right near there, and you park there and walk right over to the amphitheater, and away you go. It's a fascinating event and fascinating to watch the little guys do that. So this is just another example of Tucson Baptist Church giving back to the community that has been so blessed. The church has been around for a long time. What's the anniversary coming up? How long have they been?
So we were established in 1958 by our founding pastor.
That's the same year I was born.
Okay. So that's a great year then. Right?
Yeah,
a
lot
of great things.
So 66 years.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And so, and your dad's been there about a third of that.
Right. He came 16 years ago.
Yeah.
And been there ever since.
Yeah. So that's pretty amazing that he's been there that long, and he's done a great job. And just, yeah, if you know, people go to their church, you know, and they go and do their thing, and kind of, there's, you know, hundreds of churches obviously in the area, but it's kind of fun. One of the blessings I had was running for mayor was to be able to go to about 100 different churches and see them, and especially in the Hispanic population. It was really an amazing, amazing process. And church is really important, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
In people's
it
lives.
Certainly is. Yeah. It's
not just Sunday. It's every day, every month.
Right. Yeah. It's the Bible talks about. It's just that community. And it kind of helps during the highs of life and then the lows of life.
Right.
And it's just the anchor through it all.
Right.
And Easter's obviously coming up, and that really is the anchor of the Christian faith.
Right.
And that's why it's such a great opportunity to have events during Easter, because that's when a lot of people go back to church.
So if someone wanted to connect during the Easter season with Tucson Baptist, what are some service times that they could go on Easter Sunday or that whole week, Holy Week, and so forth? What's a good kind of way to connect at that point?
So at our church on Easter Sunday, we have breakfast at 9:00 for our entire community,
right.
And then at 10:30.
That's
we'll
where
be,
I'm going to be. I knew I was going to be somewhere.
You're
now
more
I know
than
where
welcome
I'm going
to come.
Yeah.
And La Estrella Bakery down in downtown Tucson have the best empanadas, and so they'll be there and their donuts.
Right.
And then at 10:30 will be our services in both English and Spanish. And then at 2:00, we have a service in French and Swahili as well.
Oh, very cool.
And so that's our service times on
As
Sunday.
I recall, the one reception I went to, your folks are serving, right?
Yes, sir.
They
yeah.
stand behind the service line.
Absolutely.
And serve the people.
That's right.
To me, it was amazing. And that auditorium that you have was packed to the gills, and they were over there, you know, greeting every single person and serving them. That was pretty amazing. So, and I'm just, you know, very blessed to have get the hospitality of you and your dad and your mom taking care of us. Well, this is great. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Tucson Baptist Church and Pastor Jonathan Armstrong and his mom and dad, and egg extravaganza coming up a week from Saturday. So if you have some grandkids or some kids that want to do some fun, we know where to go on the 19th. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. You know, we caused an accident at 29th and Swan because that's right near the church, and they heard Pastor Jonathan Armstrong on it. Oh, scratch!
That's right.
See,
you're getting back to church today.
Yeah, you make an impact in the community in a lot of different ways. We're talking with Executive Pastor Jonathan Armstrong from Tucson Baptist Church. A wonderful 66-year-old young, 66 years young church over at... you're on Columbus and between 29th and 22nd,
yes,
across from the car dealership.
That's right.
Just south of the Golden Corral is a good marker.
That's
there, right?
That's
the
right.
The library there,
right,
on the
just
corner.
Just south of that. That's right.
Yeah. And so you've been there for 10 years. And so we were talking about Easter extravaganza, which will take place on the 19th at the Reed Park Bandshell. There'll be 20,000 eggs and 2 million little kids running around. It'll be fantastic. And it's a great community event. And this is part of what your mission is at Tucson Baptist Church, is to get into the community and provide services. And one of those areas that we just talked about in the break was Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. Tell us a little bit about the constituents, the congregation, and the people that are there from on assignment at DM, but they come down to your place.
Yeah, our church, our property is located about a mile north of the Swan Gate, and we have a lot of young families that come in, and they utilize a couple of our services that we have for our community. First of all, we have a preschool, Tucson Baptist Preschool, and mm-hmm. That's from infants up to five-year-olds. And they use curriculum, and it's not just a daycare, but it's a place where they can actually learn
right.
Kind of their colors and numbers and all that, get prepped for kindergarten.
Right.
And so we have about half of our students are from the military base there. And then right after that, we have our school, Tucson Baptist Academy, and that's K-8 this year. But next year, we're actually opening up a high school.
Oh, great.
And so, again, a lot of the students are from the military base there. And they're just, it's nice because it's very close to the base, mm-hmm. but it's a safe environment, mm-hmm. and it's a Christian environment as well that a lot of them kind of grew up in. And so it kind of feels like that homey environment that they kind of know very well. And so we're able to partner with them in their raising their kids and helping them in that area.
That's pretty ambitious to open a high school. What possessed you all to think that you need to go, freshman through senior and continue that Christian education? What was the impetus behind that? You've probably been planning it for a while, obviously.
Right. So we have a new school administrator this year, mm-hmm. and his name is Bobby Perry. He's doing a fantastic job. And we were just looking around, and there's a lot of different options for high schools currently,
mm-hmm.
But they're all kind of, there's one way east, some mm-hmm. Christian schools way east, way north, and in that central Tucson
right.
location, we just felt like there was a need there for a good mm-hmm. Christian high school. And so we have the property to be
we
able
do,
to do
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the curriculum that we're going to have is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a Christian classical curriculum mm. that we're using. And but then we'll be able to provide the sports and some of the extracurricular activities.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just kind of felt that there was a need in that central location of Tucson
right.
To open up another high school.
That's excellent. And so if someone wanted to check out the school, as opposed to just going to a service on Sunday or something, or Bible school or something, Bible Wednesday nights or whenever you do those,
right.
Where would they where could they go to find more about the school, especially the new high school?
Yeah, so if you go to TucsonBaptistAcademy.com, mm-hmm. you can, all the information is right there on that, with a video from our administrator of what it's going to look like and some information packets on that.
There's probably they have to pay a little bit to go to the school. Is that
yes, sir?
Tuition, but
it is, but
with the tax credits, right?
Exactly, but also. Tucson or Arizona allows the ESA scholarship to be fully
right.
funded. So every student that comes
7,000 bucks. Yeah.
Exactly. So every student that comes to our school is fully funded through ESA
yeah.
or one of the STO programs that yeah. they elect.
I call it backpack. Some people call it backpack money. You know, wherever the kid goes, the money goes.
Exactly.
And so
exactly.
that was a new law in the last 2 or 3 years that the state legislature put forth that it's not a voucher. The money follows the kid. And the kid wants to go to a Christian-based education, then they should have the same opportunities if they would be going to a public school. It's an interesting perspective to have,
right.
But it's really helped schools like yours, right, that want to offer a traditional or a non-traditional education.
Yeah, so. Well, one of ours, in the past, it was all the STOs. That's what majority of our students use, the tax dollars. But now with the ESA, a lot of them switched over to that, and it's a lot easier process,
right.
And it's opened up the... Before private education, there was almost like a lid or something,
right.
Like, well, we would go there, but there's finance. Now that kind of excuse is out of the way because mm-hmm. ESA is available to all students in the mm-hmm. Arizona.
And the nice Arizona. Thing that you have, you have an existing campus with plenty of classrooms and lots of space and lots of big buildings and stuff that you can have this. And it is a transition, but it's not like you're starting from scratch either. So
Exactly.
That's great. So you reach out into the community to Davis Monthan and of course Abel, his whole outreach to the Hispanic community, that has really been important. And even you said French and Swahili, right? You
yes,
said
sir.
So these this reaching out and culturally into the community has also been a kind of a hallmark of Tucson Baptist Church, right?
Right. One of our missions is that we're supposed to love God, grow together, and then reach Tucson. And as we look around Tucson, it's very vast with the demographics that are here,
mm-hmm.
not just economic demographics, but also language and culturals, the different cultures that are assembled in Tucson. And so our kind of goal and our heartbeat is to see how can we find different cultures and bring them in and share the gospel message of Jesus Christ and how he died on the cross, rose again, and we can introduce them to Jesus.
That's great. Come out and get some eggs on the 19th at Reed Park at the band shell, 20,000 eggs and 2 million children. It'll be fantastic.
That's right.
Pastor Jonathan Armstrong, always a pleasure to have you and your dad.
Thank you, sir.
You're wonderful people, and good luck to you for the extravaganza and the Easter season. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to The Morning Voice. Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Good morning, Morgan Murphy. One of the good things going on at the U of A.
Good morning, Dr. Ackerley. How are you?
You're about 1 month and counting before you graduate with your Master's of Marketing at the University of Arizona.
Yes, I am very excited. For those of you who haven't been to a U of A graduation ceremony, it's awesome. They light off a bunch of fireworks. Every year they make everybody think that they're not going to light off fireworks. Do you notice that?
Yeah,
and then they do
then
right
they
when
do.
Everybody's leaving.
Right. I love it. That's great. Speaking of fireworks, we're talking about Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. And one of those things is the great Blessing of the Vines, the 47th annual Blessing of the Vines at Sonoyta Vineyards. And with us this morning is Lori Reynolds. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
Great to hear your voice and drink your wine, as they say. You have a connection to the University of Arizona through your grandfather, Dr. Gordon Dutt, who was the founder of Sonoyta Vineyards back in 1973. Tell us a little bit about his experience as a retired soil scientist from the University of Arizona and how he got the vineyard started.
The whole wine industry really got restarted. In the state, we were losing our table grape industry in the 60s. And so he did lots of soil samples and research and found that wine grapes, of course, will also grow just at different elevations. And so he was awarded different grants and... through the University of Arizona, went around the state testing soils and planted several vineyards at different extension offices, as well as Page Ranch, which is in Oro Valley, and then came down to the Elgin area where the Baba Camori is, and they planted a vineyard down here. And, well, long story short, the Sonora Elgin area, he felt, had the highest quality grapes, and so he purchased 115 acres. Lots of family and friends pitched in and started Sonoyta Vineyards in 1978. So we are celebrating our 47th annual when we first planted.
That's really amazing. And you're a mainstay because you were kind of like a magnet. Sonoyta Vineyards was the first and the biggest in the state. And now there are you know, more than a dozen or several. They come and go every once in a while, depending on what's happening in the market and so forth. But you have quite a few other people who have started vineyards down in that area as well. So talk a little bit about the viticultural area and how there's other vineyards that are operating in that same area.
Oh, absolutely. There is now over 20, I believe, vineyards and wineries that are in this Sonoyta AVA or American Viticulture Area, and it is growing every year. There's two other viticulture areas now in Arizona, Sonoyta being the oldest, but now we do have the Wilcox AVA or American Viticulture Area, as well as the Verde Valley AVA, which is north of Phoenix. So now we have three AVAs in the state, but there are, I believe, over 130 now licensed and bonded wineries now in the state of Arizona. So we went from having nothing to a $1 billion industry.
And your grandfather can be credited as being one of the people that got the industry started in the state. And it hasn't been easy over those 47 years. And when you think about just recently, you've had a couple of fun, exciting things. Bambi and her family taking some liberty with your vines and jumping over the fences and eating your vines. So we laugh about that, but it was pretty devastating. That basically what happened, the wildlife, the deer jumped the fence and took out some of your vines, right?
They did, yes. And it's not just deer that we combat in viticulture in southern Arizona. Javelina are just as
They love it, don't they? They love grapes.
Yeah, murder pigs. And then, of course, when you have new baby vines, I mean, rabbits are they can do a lot of decimation. But yeah.
Yeah, but then you had Mother Nature come along with a little bit of kind of a challenge and an opportunity both at the same time. Had a little bit of a fire come through and damage some things, and that was kind of a big hit for you. But out of the ashes sprung something pretty powerful, right?
Absolutely, out of the ashes, you know. If anything, ash is good for the soil. So here we are, replanting the loss of the 5 acres we did. So that will be happening this spring here pretty shortly. And we just keep on moving because if anything, we're farmers. Yeah. So it doesn't matter what happens. If hail happens, well, that's okay. You learn and you move on.
One of the nice benefits was that you had some smoke damage in your big facility there. And you know, you couldn't use some of that stuff, and so you had the opportunity to kind of reconfigure it and dress it up. It's beautiful when you go down there for an event. It's the way you have it set up now, and the lighting and the newness of it. It's kind of a neat. You took an old kind of a 40-year-old warehouse and turned it into something pretty a nice little event space there.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm pretty happy the way that the building ended up coming. But like you said, we had to gut it, and we had to rebuild from the outside in. So yeah, we did end up losing some wine due to some smoke damage there to it. But you know, we just keep trucking, and like you said, it's turned out to be a really nice and much more usable space for us. So we're pretty excited the way it turned out.
We're talking to Lori Reynolds. She's the winemaker at Sonoyta Vineyards. She's the granddaughter of the founder, Gordon Dutt, Dr. Gordon Dutt. And so you have this gentleman that has been coming to the winery, been a friend of the family for years. He was a Lutheran pastor and then changed teams and became a Catholic priest. His name is Monsignor Greg Adolph. Tell us a little bit about Pastor Greg and what he does for you with the blessing of the vines.
Oh, well, I love Father Greg. He is, he baptized me.
Wow.
I love him. He is amazing. He has been blessing the vines for the last 47 years. And even during COVID, when we weren't allowed to have anything, we did a private family one, and he still came down, and we still did a blessing of the vines during COVID as well. And we've never not had the vines blessed. So I love him. He comes and he always says, you need your bases You need your bases loaded, Lori. So he brings every denomination he can wrangle from Southern Arizona, and all of these priests and pastors and whoever he can get comes, and we do a fun processional from the winery out into the vineyard, and they throw holy water, and I won't spoil any of his jokes.
Oh my gosh!
If you haven't heard them, they've been the same for 47 years. I won't spoil any of them.
I was there last year when he tells that final joke. It just, the crowd just, they moan and laugh at the same time. It's hilarious, and he has been telling the same jokes over and over again. He's funny as he can be. He's a great guy.
He really is great, and like you said, we're there for a good time, not a long time. So he's just a breath of fresh air, and I love him so much.
Yeah.
And all the other priests and pastors and everybody else who comes out, they make the day. It's just fun. And they're there right there with you sampling the wine after the blessing is over. So it's a really good, fun day. So
you have to wonder, honestly. I mean, I'm not trying to be too silly here, but you have to wonder that after 47 years of blessing, when you think about the rabbits and the javelina and the deer and the fire and the challenges that you and your family have had over the last 47 years, that there's something to the blessing and taking it seriously and praying for a good crop and for a good prosperity for the family. It's kind of a nice, when I've been down there, it's just really a nice sentiment, if nothing else, but also you can't discount the power that's happening with the community coming together to make sure you guys are successful. So that's going to take place tomorrow. Tell us a little bit about the timing and where they go and how they get involved.
Absolutely. So if you're coming from Tucson, you're just going to go east on 10 until you hit the Sonoyta exit. You're going to go south and just follow the signs. We'll have a bunch of signs that are out that say Sonoyta Vineyards Festival with arrows, and just follow us out. It's about an hour south of Tucson. Festival is going to run from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow. Not yesterday. Wow.
time to have a glass of wine, Lori.
Yeah, I know. I haven't even started today. I just need more coffee. But we're going to have a couple of food trucks here. We'll have Better Birdie as well as Las Vegas from the Nogales area here serving. And there'll be some music, and we'll have, I believe, 8 other vineyards, as well as a distillery down here sampling. If you pre-buy your tickets today through Eventbrite, it's $25. Tomorrow will be $30 at the door. But other than that, you'll get your souvenir glass and your tasting tickets. And you can, of course, buy more tasting tickets, but you can buy by the glass or the bottle and just enjoy the day. If you are under 21 or you are a designated driver, we do not charge you for entry. That's been a question that has been all the time. As well as if you just want to come and you want to come and enjoy and do the blessing, but you don't want to participate in the actual wine festival itself, there's no charge. So if you just want to come out and then you do decide you want to have a glass of wine, well, come out and have a glass. But if you're going to participate in the actual festival, that is what the charge is for.
Right. And that'll start tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and the blessing takes place around noon. And
yep.
And Monsignor takes the crew out to the fields, and actually it's a procession out there, and it takes about a half hour. And if we have the prediction on the weather, it's going to be a beautiful day, and it'll be a few degrees cooler down in Sonoyta, Elgin area, so it'll be a nice day. Hey, Lori, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the kinds of wines that you are making and what the future looks like for Sonoyta Vineyards. We're talking with Lori Reynolds, the chief winemaker at Sonoyta Vineyards in Elgin. We'll be back after the break. This is The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona and how the University of Arizona affects our lives on a regular basis here in Southern Arizona. And one of those effects is the fact that Lori Reynolds is with us, and her grandfather, Dr. Gordon Dutt was the founder and established, along with a partner, Sonoyta Vineyards, which is a wonderful, wonderful property down in the Elgin. Good morning again, Lori.
Good morning.
So we're talking about the great 47th annual Blessing of the Vines that takes place tomorrow in Sonoyta Vineyards, just a little bit more than an hour, a little less than an hour south of Tucson. And you get down there, and Monsignor or Father Greg Adolph will be doing the blessing at noon, but people can get there starting at 10, and it goes through 5 with vendors and food and entertainment and all sorts of wonderful things. Let's talk a little bit, Lori, about the wine that you make. You're the chief winemaker. You probably have a title better than chief winemaker. What is your actual title?
It depends who you talk to. but yeah, no, head winemaker works. Yep.
Head winemaker.
Yep.
Okay.
Head winemaker. Yep. No, what you said totally is valid. Or resident alcoholic. I mean, I don't know.
Person in charge is what they said. You and your husband are running the place. So, so you went to school to learn how to be a winemaker, and you know how to make wine, and you do make the wine that that you sell at Sonoyta Vineyards. Tell us a little bit about the kind of wines that that you specialize in, and then we'll talk about any new wines you have coming up. But tell us about what your traditional wines are that you make at Sonoyta Vineyards.
Oh, absolutely. So I have quite a vast, we don't do just one kind. It's not like we just do cab, but I do red blends. We do straight varietals. We do nice, you know, heavy bodied reds, light bodied reds, but I also do white wines, and I also make stuff on the lighter, sweeter side as well, because we are definitely a sweet wine safe zone. So we have a little bit for all different kinds of palates.
And you bring in, you obviously grow some of the grapes right there on the vineyard. That's why you're blessing them tomorrow. But you also bring in some special grapes too to help you make some of these wines, correct?
Absolutely. We don't grow everything here on the property, and there's things that just won't grow as well as they grow in other areas. So I still buy from Friends Vineyards in the Wilcox AVA. So I'll still get some grapes from over in Cochise County as well.
That's great. So an individual, even tomorrow when they come down for the blessing of the vines and are there for the festival and sample the wine from 8 different wineries and a distillery, along with all of your wines, they can also purchase your wine by the case and take it with them, right?
Oh, absolutely. We thoroughly, you know, totally need to do that. Buy by the case. Or, you know, there's so many places there. You could go home with a case of wine and get a couple bottles from everybody, a little over a case.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's one of the nice things about being a distributor in a vineyard and a winery. The liquor laws allow you to sell it in bulk, whereas, you know, if you were a restaurant, you wouldn't necessarily be able to take out a box full of wine on your way out the door. But with the way, because you're a grower and a distributor, they can actually purchase wine and take it home and come back and refill the box again in a couple of weeks. So it's kind of nice. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things you offer. Obviously, you're open year-round. You're a vineyard, so the grapes are always growing and the wine is always being made. But you have special events, tours, and other things that that you do, and some more festivals coming up throughout the year. So talk a little bit about the tours and having people come down during the week and on the weekends to see what you have.
Oh, absolutely. We're open every day of the week except for Tuesdays from 10 to 4. You don't have to have reservations to come on in. Now, if you want a private tour and a tasting, then you can purchase those tickets online through our website. If you would like a private tour, they would be less, about 45 minutes to an hour, and you would get a private tasting, seated cheese and crackers and meat tray, and then we give a thorough tour of the actual winemaking facility. Now, if you're just looking, you want to just come and sample some wines and maybe bring some picnic food out with you, again, you don't need reservations for that. You just can come on out. And then we do have two more festivals through the year. We have one beginning of August, and then one again the second week in November. So if you can't make it to the Blessing of the Vines, we do have the Harvest Festival, where we do grape stomping competitions in August. And then in November is the another blessing, but is the blessing of the new release. So we call this the St. Martin's blessing, because St. Martin is the patron saint for winemakers.
That's great. And Bill and I were just talking here that we need to do a Morning Voice eat and greet and bring our five hosts down to the vineyard, get a bus, and get a bunch of listeners to come down and do one of those special events with you. So we might talk to you about during the summer doing an eat and greet, maybe with the Stomping of the Vines event coming up, but Harvest Fest. So again, tomorrow, this is 10 a.m. to 5 at Sonoyta Vineyards. Again, for those that are just joining us, Lori, just tell us again how to get to Sonoyta Vineyards from Tucson.
From Tucson, you're just going to east on I-10 until you reach the Sonoyta exit, which I believe is exit 281, and just follow the signs down into Sonoyta. We'll have signs everywhere that says Sonoyta Vineyards Wine Festival. That will tell you exactly how to get to us.
It's a great day trip. If you haven't been there, going through the rolling hills of Sonoyta is just beautiful. And where the vineyard is located out there, right in the foothills, it's just beautiful. And you've done a really nice job of the place is gorgeous and the event is fun. And you can't miss, especially if the weather's going to be as beautiful as it's predicted to be. It's going to be a gorgeous day tomorrow. So, Lori, if they wanted to find out more about you, they go to SonoytaVineyards.com. Is that where they go?
Yep, go to SonoytaVineyards.com. If you need somewhere to call, it's 520-455-5893.
What is your favorite wine that you make over the last 20 years? If you were to pick one of the wines out of the rack and say, this is the one that I like and the one that lots of people like, which one would it be for you?
Well, I'll have to pick two because I have a favorite white and a favorite red.
Oh,
but
perfect.
My favorite white is our Fumé Blanc, mm-hmm. Which is an oaked Sauvignon Blanc. And my favorite red to make and to share is Mi Casa, which is, of course, my house in Spanish.
Right.
But we don't spell it right. But it's a blend of Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Syrah.
Yeah, that is very popular. I know that every time I'm down there, that's what the people I'm with always tend to order, because it's just a really delicious wine. And I look forward to I unfortunately will not be there tomorrow. I have to be up in Phoenix for an event, but Brother Bill will be there with bells on and representing and drink my portion. Is that okay?
I think that's totally fine.
Okay. Well, Lori, congratulations to you and your family and the extension of the University of Arizona down in Sonoyta, Elgin at Sonoyta Vineyards. You and your family have done a great job over the years of providing wonderful beverages to the entire, and culture and other things. So we'll see you tomorrow at the 47th Annual Blessing of the Vines at Sonoyta Vineyards. Thanks, Lori, and hope we have a big crowd tomorrow.
Oh, thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. You're listening to Wonder on the University of Arizona. Good things that are happening there. This is The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. We'll be back after the break with more Wonder. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley. This is Wonder, where we talk about the great things going on at the University of Arizona. With me in studio is Morgan Murphy. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning, Dr. Ackerley.
So you're a master's student, going to graduate in May with a master's in marketing. It's been a long ride, but a fun ride, right?
Yes, definitely. I'm very excited. May 15th is coming a lot faster than I thought it would.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any classmates that are important or do anything meaningful in the recent past that you'd like to talk about?
You know, I do, and he's actually on the air with us right
he
now.
He is on the air. Blaise Mutware, good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you doing, Dr. Ackerley?
You're getting your master's degree, too, at the University of Arizona, and you are I guess we just start out with congratulations to you. You are a national title winner of the U of A men's wheelchair basketball team, and congratulations on your national championship.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, amazing. And what's it feel like? You know, you've been a sports guy all your life, and man, here you go. You come to the University of Arizona and a great program at the University of Arizona, and you take the national championship. What does that feel like?
It's so surreal. I mean, we've been the number one team for the past 3 years.
Right.
We also went to national championship game the past couple of years as well, but we fall short in that last game twice in a row. So getting over the hump this year just feels like a weight off our shoulders. But I feel so surreal. I feel so good.
Really great commitment to the game and so forth. So tell us a little bit about you. You know, I know who your favorite teacher is at the University of Arizona. We don't need to go there. I know that if you would just tell people. So you were in my class a couple of semesters ago, but tell us a little bit about your background. Where are you from, and what brought you to the University of Arizona?
Yeah, I'm from Toronto, Canada, and what brought me to the U of A was, obviously the good weather for sure. Mm-hmm. The different contrast in Canada, a lot colder over there. But I came here for a tour. The coach here was really interested in me coming here and playing for the school, and I came here for a tour. And I'm glad I chose U of A.
That's great. So not only have you competed, obviously, with the team, with the U of A men's basketball team, but you also are a two-time Paralympian, and you've competed on behalf. Have you competed for Canada or for the United States when you're competing as a Paralympian?
I compete for Canada.
Okay. And so how was that when you did that a couple of times? How was the experience of being an Olympian for you?
It was a great experience. I mean, my first time was in Tokyo in 2020 or 2021. So that was the COVID Olympics. So that was a little bit different just because there was no crowds. It didn't really feel like I got the full experience. But going to Paris this past summer, it kind of felt like my first time just because I got the full experience, the crowd, like the whole opening ceremony, closing ceremony. But it was one of my favorite memories this summer. Just the love people have from France, from around the world. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to making it back again in LA in 2028.
Oh, that's great. You have a mission. That's fantastic. You know, you are exactly what Wonder is about. We talk about Wonder at the University of Arizona, and we celebrate the great things that are happening and the great people that that affect our lives on a daily basis. You know, there's a lot of negative publicity about lots of different things, not only at the U of A, but just in our community and in our country and in Canada and the fight between tariffs and all the things that go on. Right. It's so great to have a young man like you representing the university on the national stage. What's that been like for you, being a Wildcat and representing the U of A not only nationally in tournaments but around the world as an Olympian?
It feels good. Sometimes I watch some of my games back internationally, and they always mention if the commentators are talking about me, they'll mention that I go to the U of A. I'm taking my master's graduate, so it feels good, like, you know, being known as a Wildcat, globally as well. So that's something I can take for life going forward with my career, wherever that leads me.
Do you have an inkling yet? Of course, you want to go back to the Olympics again another time, so you're going to do a lot of devotion to the sport. But what are you going to do with this master's degree when you get out into the business world? What do you want to be, a sports agent? What do you want to do with your master's degree?
For me, my dream job is to work for the NBA, the National Basketball Association, in any capacity. But maybe I can get into coaching somehow. But I like to be in the business world. I like to work like consulting and like talking to people about different business adventures. That's so cool. I'm still trying to figure out what my full plan is, but hopefully it may take a leap sooner than later.
That's great. Well, I don't know. Do you know Samantha Thomas, Sam Thomas from the U of A women's team from a couple of years ago?
No, I'm not too familiar.
Okay, well, I'm going to connect you with her because she had an illustrious career at the University of Arizona, was one of the featured stars, and then she went on and played for the Phoenix Mercury for a season and a half. But her job right now, she's doing exactly what you just said. She's trying to get people like you involved in the NBA, and so she's out of Vegas now. So you and I and her are going to grab a cup of coffee and get on a Zoom call and talk to each other about what we can do to get Blaze into the NBA. She has a ton of connections there, and that's fantastic.
That's fantastic.
So you're going to be graduating with a master's in marketing here in about 30 days. Has it been a daunting to try and do athletics through your undergraduate and also now into your graduate career, but also then also practice all day long, it seems like, with the men's team? It's pretty daunting what athletes have to go through in order to get through school, isn't it?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's been a tough 4 or 5 years for me, for sure. Just balancing, you know, school and practice and other commitments as well. But I've been dedicated to school as well. Like, I mean, I got opportunity to come to school. Like, I didn't think that was going to be possible for me for a long time. So once when I got the opportunity, I really wanted to put focus in my education and put that first, of course. You know, like, the student comes first before the athlete. But
right.
I'm dedicated to both just as well. But like, graduation's coming a lot faster than I thought. I didn't realize it was a month. It just feels like it's been so long coming. But it is slowly creeping up.
Where are you going to live? Have you decided where you're going to live? Are you going to stay in Tucson and train here, or are you going to move somewhere else? Go back to Toronto. Where are you going to head after graduation?
Well, after graduation, we have with the Canadian national team, we have competitions coming up this summer. So I'll be headed back to Toronto for a little bit to practice with them. But as for like where I'm going to be residing, I'm not sure yet. I really like Tucson. Obviously, the weather's great. Toronto is also home. There's also a possibility of going playing professionally in Europe. So I'm still trying to weigh out my options, but it's either playing pro in Europe or gain a career.
Yeah, well, you know, both of those things could be possible at the same time. You could go pro and go professional business side too at the same time and be a player coach or a player manager and do some things to augment that marketing career. When we come back after the break, Blaze, we'll talk a little bit more about Pete Hughes and the DRC program, the Disability Resource program that's one of the best in the world at the University of Arizona, and you're a good representative of that, a national championship winner of the men's national wheelchair basketball team. You're listening to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder, where we talk about wonderful things happening at the University of Arizona. We'll be back after the break with Blaze Mutware. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Friday. That means it's Wonder, where we talk about the wonderful things happening at the University of Arizona and how those wonderful things affect us here in Tucson. The U of A is the big center of Tucson. It's the heart of Tucson, and there's lots of wonderful things happening there. One of the things that's good is the Marketing Master's Program at the University, Eller College of Management. And we got a couple of marketing majors with us. My assistant and CEO of Ackerley Advertising, Morgan Murphy. Good morning again, Morgan.
Good morning. And so I have a question for you, Blaze. This is Blaze. Mm-hmm. He just won the national title for the U of A men's wheelchair basketball team. So I'm just wondering, we're in the same classes, and I can barely, you know, it's so much work. How did you both prepare and, you know, create strategy with your team to win this national title? Like, how much work went into winning this? And then on top of that, how did you balance that with the insane amount of coursework that we have?
Yeah, I mean, Dodger wasn't easy. Like, we practice five, 6 days a week. And even going into nationals with spring break, we actually practiced twice a day that week and did film every single day. So we put a lot of preparation into going into the national title. But, we also have study hall as a team. So we actually spend time as a team together to make sure that everybody's getting the work done, because a lot of guys, especially freshmen, like, you know, they struggle with the workload, so we kind of teach young guys how to stay on top of the classwork. But yeah, it is tough. But I mean, in the master's, but one thing I like about the master's program is how much group work there is, and how much you know, like you can work as a team, and a lot of the teammates really help each other out. So it's been a tough year, but I mean, it's manageable if you put your priorities straight.
That's great. Peter Hughes is the director of athletics for the DRC program at the University of Arizona. It's a world-renowned program that brings in athletes like yourself from all over the world to come and compete at a very high level. Pete's a pretty good basketball player in his own right. If you've seen, of course, he probably gets out on the court with you guys and teaches you how it's done. And because he is an excellent basketball player in his own right, what made you choose the University of Arizona to come and play here and to get your undergrad and graduate degree? What was the thing that made University of Arizona stand out to you, Blaze, to be the place you wanted to spend your time?
Well, the weather for sure. And then also the teammates that were here. I talked to them when I came on the trip, and I really felt a connection with the guys that were here. And, you know, it was scary for me to, like, leave home, like, kind of one of my first times, like, leaving Toronto and going somewhere new. But the guys here made me feel assured that, you know, I kind of have a second family here, and I love it here. And they were wrong.
What is Toronto like? You know, I've never ventured into Canada myself. So what is Toronto like, your hometown? And as you say, you know, you left your hometown to come to Tucson of all places. What's Toronto like? What is home for you? You're going to go back for a little while before you start your professional career. Tell us a little bit about your hometown, Toronto, Canada.
Yeah, if you haven't been, I highly recommend taking a trip to Toronto. It's an amazing city, very diverse, especially in the summer. There's always events going on, festivals, like concerts, and all types of things. There's museums. There's lots of attractions. I could go on and on about Toronto, but Toronto's an amazing city, one of my favorite cities in the world, just because of, like I said, it's a very diverse city. There's people from all over Italy, like Asia, all different walks of life. So it's a very welcoming city, and lots of activities to do. But yeah, I'm very excited for Toronto, going back home, one of my favorite places in the world for sure.
Great. Well, we congratulate you again on your national championship of the men's wheelchair basketball team, winning the United States national championship right here. Our friends from our DRC program at the University of Arizona, what a great tribute to you all. And Blaze, you're an excellent student, a wonderful young man, and I wish you the best of luck in your future. And as you come back as an alumnus from the University of Arizona, come back into my classes and say hi to our struggling undergraduates who you will know what they've been through. So you can tell them what they've got expected in their future. So thank you for being on the show this morning. That's Blaze Muttwehr, national champion, University of Arizona men's basketball, wheelchair basketball team. So thank you for being with us this morning, Blaze.
Thanks for having me.
Great. And thank you, Brendan Kraft, for the morning. Appreciate the good work you did today.
No problem, Ed.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you, Morgan. Bill Ackerley's here as well. And we love Fridays because that means the weekend is here. We'll see you on at Sonoyta Vineyards on Saturday, or maybe the Chocolate Festival on Sunday at the Doubletree. So thank you, Morgan. Thanks for being here today.
Of course. Thank you.
You're listening to The Morning Voice. We'll see you next week and Monday with Lydia Ronda for Rainmakers.